This is the MMA Takes Podcast. MMA Takes Podcast. With your host, Brian Petrie.
You know I'm recapping this fucking Austin card. I wasn't going to let the Austin card go away. Your boys get to recap it because, holy shit, that was an amazing card. We got a lot to get through. Not a lot of time. Your boy's up against it right now. However, good to start the show with a little bit of a somber note. I apologize. This show is dedicated to my father-in-law, Jerry Wayne Greer, who we tragically lost on Monday. As many of you know, if you've been listening to me for a while, he's been battling for months with a lung problem. You know, he was a heavy smoker. His lungs were a few years ago, they were bad. And unfortunately, they just kept getting worse. Had an infection. They affected his kidneys for the past, I'd say, 2 or 3 months, maybe even longer. He's been in and out of the hospital. A month and a half ago, they told him, we're going to send in hospice. He said, fuck that. I ain't ready for that. 2 days later, he got to go home for a couple weeks and then, end up back in the hospital. But one of the toughest sons of bitches I've ever met in my life. When we bought this house, he was a contractor. That's what he did. He built houses. He knew how to do everything. We built this house. He came over and, redid the bathroom for us. We got some money from the homeowners because the bathroom was like messed up or something. So we had like $1,000. You can't redo a bathroom $1,000. We got new everything because he did everything. He got deals and an amazing, amazing gift. Redid our kitchen years later. Redid all our doors. The guy was always there when you needed and literally taught me everything I know. I don't know anything about homeowner. I don't know. I barely could hammer a nail. You know what I mean? And now I feel more confident doing things because of what he taught me, and every step of the way he was doing the bathroom, kitchen, doors, I'm asking fucking questions and I'm getting in there. Let me try this. Let me do that. Because I couldn't always call on him. I want to do it myself, his fight's over, but man, they gave him, my wife was at the hospital all weekend, and on Father's Day, they gave him 3 hours to live. They said about 8 o'clock, he's not going to make it through the night. About 8 PM is when he's going to probably be gone. And he lasted till 9 AM the next day. That's how tough this guy was. Didn't want to give up. He was an uphill battle, an unbelievable fight, and he just couldn't fight no more. A lot of respect to him. I don't use the word brave a lot. I use it towards my wife when she gave birth and all women when they give birth. And I use it obviously towards the brave men and women during the service because those are something I couldn't do. I was approached by, the Army and the Marines when I got out of high school and I didn't go right to college. And I literally candidly told them, I'm not brave enough. I'm not, and that's true. Those people they enlist and fight and are incredibly brave. And it's a word that I don't use a lot. And my father-in-law, Jerry, was incredibly brave. He fought this thing tooth and nail. It was dialysis one day a week. Then they bumped it up to 4. And, I don't know much about dialysis, but what I did learn is it completely wipes you out. And he was doing it 4 days a week just to keep fighting. He wasn't giving up. And what a brave, tough guy. And I'm going to miss him and I love him. And I'm not a very religious person. If you're a religious person or if you're whatever, just send some positive thoughts towards my wife's way. She's obviously having a hard time with this and we're trying to get through it. She's out today planning all his memorial and everything like that. So obviously just, you don't have to reach out to me personally. I mean, obviously you can, but just send positive thoughts my wife's way. And if you're a religious person, you can go ahead and pray for her. We'll take anything we can get. Cause she, last night was obviously the first night he died yesterday morning. So last night when she came home, it was rough on her, understandably. She was a mess and, there's a lot of regret going around and past few maybe year or so, we hadn't been the closest with them and there was some bitterness there, all just real superficial, dumb shit that now we look back and we're like, why did we act that way? Because now that he's gone and so sorry for starting the show on such a bad note. I want to dedicate this show to my father-in-law, Jerry Greer. He supported me. He did not know MMA, but every time I shared, he was a Facebook guy. Every time I share the Anakin Florian clip or MMA Takes podcast clip on my Facebook, he's the first one to like it, first one to comment. And even though he doesn't really know MMA or whatever, he was just supporting his son-in-law, and that means the world to me. So thank you, Jerry, for everything you've done for me. Thank you for making an incredible woman and your daughter, who you know, I'm going to take good care of for the rest of our lives together. So didn't want to start somber, but I had to get that out because, you know, he was the man. So thank you for indulging me there. Now let's get to the dick jokes. Let's get to the what you're here for, the meat and potatoes. UFC Austin was woo. So I was at a kid's party on Saturday, started at 4, party ended about 5, bounce house we rented was over at 5, but, you know, I told you guys before, the in-laws might not get it, you know, my wife gets it, some of her family might not get it, but at 4 o'clock, I was in that bounce house with my girls and her cousins from 2 to 4, sweating my dick off, bouncing around, playing with kids, getting whacked in the head with kids, getting jumped on, getting climbed on. I gave them 2 hours. I was there for presents. I was there for cake. I was there for everything. 4 o'clock, first fight of the night, I had money on. You got to work. You know what I mean? I called my work, and my daughter said it was so funny. My beautiful Winnie, who's 5 years old, she's so smart. You know, she wanted to go back out. She's like, we got an hour left. You know, after cake and presents, she's like, let's go back out to her cousins. Let's go back out to the bounce house. And we, you know, we got an hour left, guys. Let's go jump. And her little, she's really fair skinned, you know, like I am, and my wife's fair skinned as well. And her face is just beet red. She's sweating or whatever. She's so cute. And one of her cousins goes, well, why don't we get your dad back out there? And I'm on my phone watching fights. And she kind of like looks up and goes, he's at work. Come on. like, cause I've told her a million times when daddy watches fights, it's work. And it was just so cute the way she did it. So had a good time Saturday, man. Had a good time. Daughter had a great time. Birthday was celebrated right pretty much the entire week with the Dave and Buster's on Wednesday, the day after her birthday. My wife took her out on her birthday, did a whole gorgeous, you know, tea with the daughter. They got their nails done, you know, at some fancy salon in downtown Cincinnati. It was great. It was something, you know, just my wife and my daughter, and that was really cool. And then Wednesday, the day after, with Dave and Buster's. She calls it Game and Buster's. We went there. I literally, like, we had some running around to do after that. We got there about 11 or 12. We ate before because I personally don't like the food at Dave and Buster's, and it's expensive as fuck. So I go, you know what? Instead of spending all this money on food, I'll put $80 on a card. We can play every game in this joint. We can win tickets, yada, yada, yada. We didn't even get through half of the $80. I still have a whole half of like $40 worth of tokens or whatever you want to call them on the Dave and Buster's cards. We got to go back. But yeah, your boy was playing this dodgeball game where you play against someone. They got blue balls, you got red balls, and you throw them at your targets. It's like a shape of kids, and they're light up red or blue. You get points for as many you hit. Then there's like little bonus things. God damn, I was good. I didn't miss. You know, your boy's got a good arm. You know, I'm not the most athletic guy in the world. Basketball, not my sport. Baseball is pretty good. I had a good arm. Football, I can catch anything, and I can throw it over a goddamn mountain. And your boy's got a cannon. I was lighting those things up. So I literally sent a text to my buddies at work. Was like, let's go to Dave and Buster's one day after work so I could murder you in this. There was a Connect Four basketball where, you know, you shoot and whatever. And again, not good at basketball. Beat my wife. You know what I mean? Dominated her. It was a lot of fun. And then Thursday, we chilled out. Thursday, I got my toy. I got my Rodecaster Pro 2, which, again, I'm an audio nerd. I'm loving it. I'm setting up right now. You know, I'm still in the kinks of it. New microphone coming tomorrow. I built this microphone I'm talking into, but I had to go back to the true and tried. That's coming tomorrow, and then my setup is complete. I promise you, I'm spending no more money on this fucking thing. But the Rodecaster Pro 2 is awesome. Shout out Zach Lawhead, listener, follower. I believe he caught me over on Anakin Florian. He's been just the positive affirmation, you know, just sending me good things. You know, seems like a great guy. And we DM quite a bit, a little bit, and he's just like an awesome, just seems like an awesome dude. Someone, a guy that I'm going to get along with. So I put up the Rodecaster Pro on Twitter, and I really didn't think I'd get many hits. I got a couple hits. A lot of guys were like, hey, bro, how much, whatever. Zach ended up buying it. I'm getting to him this weekend. I'm hoping he's putting it to good use because I love that machine, man. That changed the podcasting game forever. And the Rodecaster Pro 2 is just, it's that on steroids. There's so much into this thing. You're going to hear it throughout these next coming weeks, new iterations and new little things you can do. And hopefully I'm sounding better. And yeah, it's fucking incredible. So shout out to the team at Rode. I've been trying to get them to sponsor me forever. Australia-based company. Aussie, mate. That's a horrible impression. But, you know, they're one of the top people in the audio industry. And yeah, so I'm going to keep firing bullets trying to get them to sponsor your boy. You know what I mean? I need that. Let's get Rode. And you don't even have to pay me. Just give me fucking product. Give me products. Give me products, baby. Let me move some product for you. That's what an old drug dealer used to say that I used to work with. I probably shouldn't be telling the story. I'm doxing people. I'm not going to say any names. When I worked at UPS, that's where I work. I started unloading trucks. It was just a grunt unloading trucks. And there were some characters that worked up front. And there was one guy who I was really good friends with. He was a very top of the line drug dealer. He made a lot of money. People used to doubt him all the time about money. And he would pull out, wads and wads of cash. Now, I don't respect necessarily drug dealers because they're selling heroin and whatnot. I believe this guy only sold, I don't know what he sold, okay? You know, it wasn't my business and drugs aren't my thing. I get it, you know. But unfortunately, I did get along with the guy. We kind of worked together a little bit. I did get along with the guy. So a guy got hired and knew who he was outside of here. And the guy obviously wanted to keep a low profile and be like, yeah, don't be fucking shouting my business, you know, in here. You know, keep it cool. You know, keep it cool, bro. And this guy did not keep it cool. He showed up. He's like, oh, yo, what's up? Hey, baby, let me move some product for you. I'm willing. Let me move some product. He's screaming it across this building. And the guy that's been there forever is like, oh, my, you got to get this guy out of here. You got to fucking get this guy out of here. And a buddy of his, it was like seriously like in a mafia movie or something. He walked up to him and I was like, hey, man, and just like kind of whispered in his ear. And then he didn't say a thing the rest of the time. So, you know, let's move some product, bro. And I'll be your fucking drug dealer. I probably could have put that better. They're not sponsoring me. Now let's get to UFC Austin. Goddamn, what a card. Every fight was incredible. I went 7-7 on my picks. I tweeted out my record for the year, 154-91. I did horrible math. I thought I was at 59%. A follower who is way smarter than me says, hey, buddy, that's actually 62%, right? In my world, when you handicap fights, obviously, these aren't all bets. These are just picks. Obviously, I haven't bet this. I didn't bet 245 fights. These are just my predictions. And I always do an end-of-year recap, but I figure, like, let's add this up now and see where we're at. And I always think it's dog shit unless you got to be above 60%. And that's why I said I'm not worth a piss unless I'm above 60%. 6%. Well, apparently I'm a 62 because I can't do fucking math. So how do you do? We're going to keep this fucking train rolling. I'm locked in for this weekend. Gave my picks on the Anakin Florian. Go check that out. It was a very fun show. Got some time with Ray. Got to talk Ray a little bit. Got to recap the fights. Got to be kind of on a little bit longer, which is always fun to do. Chop it up with the boys. And then obviously we gave picks for this weekend. I think I gave 4, right? We did my boy Chris Curtis's fight. I think I gave 4, yeah. Made a little bet with Kenny for the Chris Curtis fight. Heat Rivera. I went Chris. Again, I'm not going to spoil it if you haven't seen it, which you probably should. Go watch it. Go subscribe to YouTube. Go hammer that like button. Hit the bell notification. Leave a comment. Fuck, yeah, this YouTube thing's getting easy for me now, babe. All right, let's get to these fucking fights. I'm going to go bottom up because really, every fight's so sick. I got a bottom up. We'll end on Calvin Kattar versus Josh Emmett because I thought the wrong guy won. So let's go up. Roman Dolidze, that old fucking wife stealer. Kyle Daukaus. This surprised me. Kyle Daukaus has proven to be a pretty durable guy. He got clipped early in this and then got clipped again. He got put out in a minute, 13 seconds. Roman Dolidze, big guy for 85, has shown some power in his hands. I did not really see him being this well-rounded. Obviously, I thought he was going to have a strength advantage in the clinch. I just thought Daukaus was going to nullify his wrestling and be a little bit better on the ground with his jiu-jitsu. Didn't have to get there. Dolidze hit him with a knee, hit him with some punches, put him out. Dolidze gets a 3. Kyle Daukaus gets a 1. He only gets a 1 because he's Philly tough. You know what I mean? He's fairly tough. And yeah, I didn't have a play on this fight. I picked Dawkins, got the fight wrong. Thought it was a good decision. But yeah, Delite came out with the hair on fire. Cheyenne must have fucking sent him some picks and said, let's go get this boy. And he went out there, hair on fire, and destroyed Kyle Dawkins. This is the biggest win of his career, best performance so far. I really think Roman Dolidze, again, he is a big, powerful 185er. We've seen it, but sometimes we don't see it. You know, if he comes out confident and powerful like he did against Dawkins, who is a very good fighter, he could look really good at 185. I mean, he's got, what, one loss at 185 so far in the UFC? So, yeah, don't sleep on him just because he's a wife stealer. You know, this guy's a good fighter. Phil Hall's just drawn win. This is a bloodbath. I had drawn win here. This is just a bad pick by your boy. Plus 215 was the underdog price. I had Deron win on the underdog money line. I also behind him by KO just because Phil Hall's chin is just so shit. But I got chirped a little bit on Twitter and I think YouTube comments when I picked Deron win, and I was very confident about it. And people were like, yeah, you know, we like you. What the fuck? You know, and they're right. You know, if I make a shitty pick, come at me. I deserve it. I just thought Deron, who has shown pretty good boxing in the past, I thought he was going to maybe catch Phil early. Phil is a lot longer and bigger than I gave him credit for. His striking is a lot more technical than I gave him credit for. You know, he looked good against Chris Curtis in their fight, and Chris caught him. He was dominating the fight till Chris caught him. In the Deron fight, you know, everything he hit Deron with was money. He hurt him every time, elbowed him whenever, like 100 times, and I gave Deron win a zero because it was an uninspiring performance. I don't think the guy's UFC quality now. I think this is probably his last fight in the UFC, even though he's DC's boy. Phil Halls gets a three, almost got a four, but, you know, his encounter with DC, I get it. I liked how he owned up to it at the end at the press conference. He's like, I apologize. He was all amped up. You know what I mean? He's like, people were picking against me, and maybe DC is Deron's boy, and I, you know, I don't know. Maybe he thought DC was like, yeah, take this fight, Deron. Like, you know, since you're boys, maybe he thought DC was in his ear and Phil was amped up. I get that. You just got in a fucking fist fight, dude. You're allowed to be amped up. But Phil gets a three. I'm still worried about that fucking chin at 185, man. I'm still worried about that goddamn chin. And Deron win, he gets a zero, but I tell you what, I'm going to change it to a three. Basically because he gave a, I wish I had the audio. God, just pull it out, Brian. Be a professional. Let's see. Instagram. He did a commentary of his own fight, and it's so funny and deprecating, and it kind of lets you know, like, okay, let's not take this. And let's not take the world so seriously. Even though we're fighters and this is about as serious it gets, I just got my ass kicked. I trained hard for this. I probably cried that night. Now it's time to rebound. So listen to, where is that? Hang on. All right. Volume. Very good. Here we go.
Fight for me. I break my orbital bone. Boom. Right there. 20 seconds in. He elbowed me. See, I'm grabbing my eye. I thought he poked me. It was such a weird feeling. Now, the doc came and see me before the next round. Boy, get your ass out the cage. We fighting. I heard some drunk dudes in the stands cheering me on, so I figured I'd get up. I get up. I'm digging in my ear. I don't even know what's going on. We back to fighting. I'm trying to make it dirty. We throwing elbows. I'm throwing elbows. He elbows me for the 3 millionth time. I'm grabbing my head. Tired of getting elbowed. I'm like, stop. Elbowing me. He shoots on me. I sprawl. I think I'm on to something. Make it dirty. Dirty box. Throw some more elbows. Because we throwing elbows. He elbows me for the 4 millionth time. I'm looking at Herb like, boy, what took your ass so long?
That's great. That's great humor. That's funny. I appreciate that. So the zero went from a three. Sucks that he lost. He's a competitor. But when you go out there, you just get outgunned, outmatched like that. I mean, there's not much you can do. And I think he took it well. You know, he's 7-3. I think there's a spot for him outside the UFC. I think PFL is a good choice, you know, Bellator. You know, he's tiny for 185. I don't think he ever can make 170. But, you know, it is what it is. I think he maybe needs to use his wrestling a little more. I don't know. This is a bad matchup for him. I completely whiffed on that. Lost the bet, lost the fight. Fuck me. Bad pick on me. Good pick on me. First leg of the slime ball was Cody Stamann versus Eddie Wineland. Stamann, heavy favorite, felt a little dirty, felt a little greasy putting him in the slime ball. But I tell you what, this guy came through. He looked like he was close to 600 favorite, 5-1 favorite, 6-1 favorite. He looked it. You know, Eddie Wineland retired. Eddie Wineland's an OG. WEC never die. About time for him to get out there. Clearly can't take a punch anymore. The Cody Stamann punch that put him down was like kind of behind the ear, but he just never recovered. Stamann obviously has good boxing and he looks powerful, but he's not known for his power, at least in the UFC he's not. Known for his wrestling, his grinding style, and I thought that's what he could do to Wineland, but he went out there and put a stamp on him, put a finish in. And I like what Cody said afterwards. It's like, I fucking needed that, and he did. He's been fighting high-level guys. This was kind of a layup for him, you know, on paper, and he went out and delivered, and he hit the win. I think Cody, again, he's a little bit of a dark horse at 135. I think if he gets a right matchup with a really good ranked dude, he could surprise because he does have some good attributes and stuff. I think he needs to clean up a little bit, you know, cleans up maybe some cardio and take down the fence. And maybe when you take someone down, do a little bit more. But he gets a 4-star. Eddie Wineland gets a 2. I was going to give Eddie Wineland a 0 because he did nothing. But that mustache, the tats, and the fact that he's WEC, you get 2 stars for me from that. I don't want to bury the guy when he's down. Props to you, Eddie Wineland. Enjoy your retirement. I believe you're like a full-time firefighter out of Indiana or Chicago. So, you know, props to you. Maria Oliveira versus Gloria DePaula. Again, went 0-2 in the women's fights. I'm swinging a miss on the women. Did not bet them. Maria Oliveira looked fucking mean in there. Looked fantastic. Very close fight against Gloria DePaula. It was a split decision, but they gave the nod to Oliveira. Didn't have a problem with this fight at all. I thought it was very action-packed. Gloria DePaula had her moment. She was landing good shots. I thought Oliveira was landing the more shots. She was talking trash in there, waving her on. I think her name's Spider Girl, so I'm assuming, you know, she's Brazilian. She's trying to take out Anderson Silva. I like the meanness. I like the toughness out of her at 115. Depending how she gets matched up, man, she could be someone, you know, to keep an eye out. She's long, lengthy for that division with some good striking. If she really cleans up, you know, maybe her defense a little bit, maybe some takedown defense, I think she can be a real fucking problem. Ricardo Hamo, let me give you the what they got. These females, man, they delivered. Let's see what they got. Maria Oliveira got a 3 and Gloria DePaula got a 2. Very close fight. You know, that's what they get. Ricardo Hamo versus Danny Chavez. Ricardo Hamo is just, my buddies watch soccer, and that just sounds like a soccer player name. I'm sure there is a Ricardo Hamo out there, and those fucking fans will chant, Hamos, Hamos, Hamos. I was chanting Hamas, Hamas, Hamas after that spinning elbow fucking cracked Danny Chavez. Chavez is from the streets of Miami. This dude don't get hurt by nothing. That elbow fucking crippled him. And then he finished up with big punches. I was on the wrong side of this as well. I had Chavez as a dog here. That's 0. I don't mind this play as much as the Duran win. I had a little money on Chavez in a dog parlay that blew up anyway. Actually, you know what? It did. It's the only, I didn't even talk about the betting recap because the fights are so good. Goddamn, I will after this fight. Danny Chavez was actually the only one that lost in that underdog parlay. So fuck Chavez. Right? Am I right? I mean, hold on. Ba-ba-ba-ba. I had. No. Yeah. He was. Sorry. Excuse me. I had Chavez, Buckley, and Jeremiah Wells, who's a side underdog, and Chavez obviously blew that for me. Anyway, just a little bit of money. Tough guy. And Ramos, that elbow, man, right on the point of the chin and just shut him off. And the punches were just academic at that point. Ramos gets a 4. That was impressive. Chavez gets a 0. Sorry, Danny Chavez. You know, you got to show up. You want to get stars from me? You got to show up. I know every fighter's tuning in to Monday, Tuesday, whenever I fucking post this thing. And they're going, what did the big guy give me? What did the big gun give me? What kind of stars? You know, people are going crazy for it. I know. It's very original. Everyone, not a lot of people give star ratings out there. I might be the first. But, man, Danny Chavez gets a 0. A guy who gets a 5-star, man, I don't have the clip anymore. I'll get that fixed. 5-star man, Jeremiah Wells. Woo! Give it up for Jeremiah Wells, baby. This kid's a fucking stud. I had him in that parlay. I also had him straight as well. I doubled down on him. I liked him a lot in this spot at +100. Court McGee, again, not a lot of people fight this guy. He's got an awkward style, an awkward grinding style. And Jeremiah Wells, I thought, matched up well with him. Of course, I did not see the knockout happening in 1:34. I did not see that happening. Five stars, Court McGee gets a one. Listen, you know, I hate to give Court a one, but it is what it is. I want to see Jeremiah now fight some elite guys at 170. I want to see him go up. Kevin Holland is someone that's interesting. Two different body types, short and muscled up versus skinny and ripped. You know what I mean? Tall and ripped. That's an interesting fight. They both fought in the same card. I know Kevin Holland called out Jeremiah Wells is teammate Sean Brady. That might make a little sense because even though Kevin Holland's not ranked at 170, he is a bigger name. So he should get a bigger fight at 170. But Jeremiah Wells is a guy at 170 that people should not sleep on. This kid's good everywhere. As long as his cardio holds up, he's phenomenal. That's a five-star man right there. Natalia Silva versus Jasmine Jevazovadacious. And again, don't correct me on her last name. I fucking nailed it, guys. What was that? Natalia Silva looked fantastic. This is the armbar girl. Don't go to the ground with her. She's got an armbar. She'll take your arm with you. And, you know, yeah, crazy stuff. Crazy, you know. And then she goes out there and puts on a stand-up clinic and looks fantastic. Where is she at? She gets a three. Jasmine gets a one. Jasmine, you know, I had her in a little parlay again that didn't do much, a little throwaway parlay, something, you know, that could hit, but, you know, usually doesn't. I just waste my money. Call it a waste your money parlay. And Jasmine was saying that she's going to go out there and finish this girl, and she's the best of shit. But like, she got fucking beat up. She got beat up. She couldn't handle on the feet, and she was trying to take her down, couldn't get her down. And it's like, well, if you get down, you're going to get your fucking arm taken. No way to win for Jasmine there. That was a bad handicapping on my part. I should have looked more into Natalia Silva there, and she looked fucking great. And again, her and Oliveira, you know, two Brazilian girls, one at 125, one at 115. Even though I do think Oliveira could probably fight at 125 at one point. She's is a tall, lanky, long-armed female. Yeah, man, they could. You know, these girls looked really good this night. They looked really fucking good. Definitely not going to be quick to fade them next time they come out. I'm going to do a proper research, and I'll still go 0-2 because women's MMA is my Achilles heel. It is what it is. All right, betting recap. Sorry, before we get to the main card. So I'm down some unis here, but only $28. I hit on Jeremiah Wells as a dog. I hit on Joaquin Buckley, which saved my night, and Joaquin Buckley by knockout. Missed the slime ball, which we'll get to. I went 3-for-3 on my locks. Joe Lozon, Donald Cerrone fight got canceled. Lozon was my send him home. I moved it to Kevin Holland. So my send him home was Kevin Holland. He knocked out Tim Means. My mortal lock was Adrian Nunez. He looked fantastic. And then my dog was Jeremiah Wells plus 100. So I went 3-for-3 on my locks. Down $28. I put a lot of my bankroll on that slime ball, kind of spread my money out, but I did put a lot. You know, we're talking like 1.41 units or whatever the fuck it was. And then, you know, I had Yanez straight up, or Yanez in the slime ball as well, and then Yanez by knockout, but the knockout was very small. But all these little small bets, besides the Buckley bet, which was a medium bet, I chipped away at my loss. So a $28 loss, not a winning week. Would have had a big week if Cater would have won. I thought he won. We'll get to that later. But that's the betting recap. 3-for-3 on my locks, baby. That's what's important. Slime ball falls to 8-9, 8-10 on the year. Something like that. Oh, gosh. Fucking disgusting, man. Disgusting. All right, let's keep moving. Andrea Nez versus Tony Kelly. Woo! This had some heat on it, boys. This had some heat on it. So, a little podcast juice there. I was accused of clickbaity media member because of my dislike for Tony Kelly. Apparently context matters what you say. He didn't say dirty Brazilian. He was referring to her as a dirty fighter. Look, guys, I heard the audio clip, okay? I heard it. I heard what he said. If you don't think this racist and you think I'm being sensitive and all that stuff, that's fine. I'm the least sensitive person there is. I'm not a cancel culture, woke media guy, but I don't care if it's 2022, 1992. If you call someone from Brazil, an entire country of people, if you call them a dirty animal or a dirty person or whatever, now I'm misquoting him. I apologize on that, but it's bad. And then Tony Kelly leaned into it. This guy really cracked. He's flicking everyone off. He's flicking people off in the cage. Him and Yanez got into it. You know, when there's some bad guys in this sport. Everyone needs a bad guy. You know what I mean? Josh Koscheck was a bad guy. You know, Chael Sonnen typically was the bad guy. Colby Covington. And I hated Josh Koscheck, and I'll even lump him in there. Like, they did it kind of the right way. Tony Kelly just seemed too emotional, too pissed off, too fucking stupid to understand why people were booing him. So he lashed out with anger, and then he gets butchered by Yanez. 5-star by Yanez. 0 for that 0 Tony Kelly. I'll never root for him again. I don't care if you think I'm clickbaity or I'm sensitive or whatever. I heard what the guy said, and I think this isn't an isolated incident. I think this guy's probably a fucking loose cannon and has a troubled past and has probably said some shit before. And, you know, and it's, you know, he's from Louisiana, and never been to Louisiana, but, you know, they're the only state that is, you know, French law. You know, Louisiana is a different place, boys. And, you know, this is a swamp kid. You know, I don't know, but I just don't like him. I like Yanez. And Yanez was slimeball partner number 2, 2 for 3 at this point to butcher Tony Kelly. Tony Kelly got some good shots in there because Yanez's defense is what it is, but Yanez's defense isn't bad. It was just he's ultra aggressive, and he ended up putting him out, flicking him off, saying some shit. I went fucking nuts. I loved it. That's a 5-star performance. Mortal lock hit. Yanez is a stud. Give him someone with a number next to his name at 135, please. I like this kid a lot at 135. You know, and sky's the limit for him. I like him a whole lot. RoboCop time. Gregory Rodriguez versus Julian Marquez. Man, Gregory Rodriguez ran through Julian Marquez. I did not see this because I picked Rodriguez to win. I told you on the podcast it was difficult for me to pick this. I picked Rodriguez by sub because for some reason I think he's going to fucking sub everyone. And sorry, I thought my kids were home. And he goes out there and just blitzes Julian Marquez and knocks him around. And Marquez is usually a durable, thick guy at 85. And every time Rodriguez landed a punch, he knocked him silly. And it went on for 3 minutes. And then finally, you know, Marquez was recovering well, and then finally it was over. I mean, Gregory Rodriguez, who looks 57, who I think is only 27, you know, this kid's big, powerful, strong guy. I think his only problem is he has been knocked out before and he has been dropped before. His willingness to exchange, I think, is a benefit to him because he's so powerful. I also think if he meets the right guy at 85, that's going to be his downfall. I want him to be a little more measured because he does have that big, big power. But he's 12-4. He's new to UFC. He's only had a couple fights in UFC at this point, I think 3 or 4. Let's ease him into it. This is an impressive win, though. Julian Marquez is not a fucking punk. This dude is a submit head or had been a submit head, durable guy, and he just got taken out quick. Gregory Rodriguez gets a 4. Marquez gets a 1. Kind of brutal on these guys on Saturday night. Marquez, you know, just got knocked around. You know, I give him a 1 for getting up as many times as he did. Next fight, a lot of people disagreed on this fight. Demir Ismagulov versus Guram Khatulate. Both got a 3 for me. It was a very competitive fight. I had Demir winning this fight. I think Guram fell off towards the end a little bit. Thought he won round one. I thought Demir won round 2 and 3. Very, very close fight. Had no money on this fight. Didn't really have a good read. A lot of people picked Guram as their dog. He was a good-sized dog. I understand it. I flirted with myself. Hardest fight to pick on the card for sure. But Ismagulov does what Ismagulov does. He just, you know, he just kind of takes his pace over and then he slows you down with the wrestling and then his striking's there. And he's just a very smart tactical fighter. He doesn't jump off the page with anything. Yes, he can strike. Yes, he can grapple. He said he wants a title shot or he wants a top 15. He's 24-1. Not a lot of people are talking about this guy unless you're a hardcore fan. And you know, Guram, this is his second fight in UFC. He's had back-to-back killers. You know, he's been injured for a while. Looked great in that first round. Clearly won that first round. Hurt Demir. Second round very close. And I thought Demir won that third round pretty cleanly. So it all comes out in that second round. And very close fight. But again, I gave it to Demir. Both get a 3 competitive. I think they're both probably, maybe we'll see each other one day at 155. How old are these guys? Let me check the age of these guys. So Demir's 31, so he's right on the cusp of his prime, and Guram is 30. Yeah, so these guys, 3 or 4 years, if they really put in work at 155 pounds, they can see each other again. This is a very close fight. Again, I had Demir. A lot of people upset because Guram was a dog, their dog play, but I had no problem with the decision. Hakeem Buckley versus Albert Dura. This is low-key badass fight. Joaquin Buckley, who I'm not the biggest fan of, I do like him. He's an exciting fighter. He gets 5 stars. That's a 5-star man. Let's go, Buckley. Let's go, baby. Because here's a guy who trained with Durev when Buckley went to Vegas for a while. And Durev probably got a better the training session. He's a strong Russian. And Joaquin Buckley, you know, when these guys go into Vegas or they go into a different camp that they're not used to, maybe they're coming off injury, maybe they're not in good shape, and maybe the other fighter's in great shape. You know, you can't take a lot from training. You can sometimes, if you're like a training partner with somebody and you work day, like John Jones and Rashad Evans, they work day in and day out together at Jackson's. And when they had a fight and Rashad left, I think, you know, there's a good idea of what they had in Rashad and how those training sessions went. But when you're like a guest fighter coming in for the weekend or just for a training camp, it's a little different. So Durev apparently called for this fight, asked for it because he dominated him in training. They got heated at the weigh-ins, and then Buckley just looked so fucking good in this fight. Gave up one takedown, gave up two, but I think one really, you know, because the one he got right back up, but he got put on his back once, was blistering fast, big, powerful shots, fucked up his eye in that first round. Those left straight hands were brutal, dropped him 2 or 3 times that third round, told him to get up, get to his corner. He quit. Durev quit. He got to his corner. His eye was fucked. And he just looked at his corner, he's shaking his head, and you know, I don't speak Russian, believe it or not. I barely speak English. And he's shaking his head, and his eye's just a fucking mess. And his corner's trying to, you know, get him going. They go to a commercial. ESPN Plus, don't go to a commercial. Comes back. People are cheering. I'm like, he quit, you know, because I got money on Buckley by fucking knockout. About had a heart attack when they went away. Should have kept it there. He hadn't officially quit yet. The ref goes up and checks him. His back was to the ref. His hands are in the cage. He's probably like, I told these guys I quit. And these Russian guys don't speak English. And then the ref comes in and they obviously called it and it was over. So I got my TKO and I got Buckley by my dog there. 5-star performance. Durev gets a 2. Man, listen, Buckley is explosive. He is strong. His takedown defense looked good. He looked quick in there. His stand-up looked really measured. You know, he did throw some looping stuff, and he kept trying to set up that high kick. That's obviously something they saw in camp. But, man, his short shots, his straight shots really fucked up Durev's faces. This guy's got power. He's got bricks in his hands. And, 185, I mean, you can match this kid up with anybody. He called out Darren Till. And did you guys see that video where he was in the backstage and Hansmat was fighting, and he called out Darren Till? And it was friendly. He's like, we should fight next. Let's fight next. And they both were like, who is that guy? We're like, I don't know. And then Cosmo's like, let's fight now. That crazy bastard. But Buckley versus Till at 185 is something I like. I know Till's got something booked, but Buckley Till at 185 is something I like maybe down the line. Kevin Holland versus Tim Means. Old Kevin Holland here. I had him by finish. Very small. Gets a 4-star. Tim Means gets a 2. Love this fight for Kevin Holland. I was all over Kevin Holland here. I like Tim Means a lot. I get it. People like the veteran. I just thought maybe after that first round and Kevin really settled in, it was going to be over. And that's exactly what happened. Kevin landed some big shots. He looks great physically at 170 pounds. Got taken down, which is a big question mark for a lot of people. A lot of people don't like when he gets taken down. But, man, he got right back up. And he looks big, strong at 170. And I'm a fan of this kid at 170. I said he's going to be a problem. I got a comment. Problem for who? You know, you look at the rankings. Let me look at the rankings. Hang on. Cottonmouth. They get so excited getting Cottonmouth. Let me look at the rankings at 170. Because I don't know them off the top of my head. Usually I have them tattooed onto inside my eyelids, but unfortunately I do not today. Bad joke. Here we go, rankings. So at 170, Kamaru Usman, Colby Covington, they're going to give him problems because of the wrestling. Obviously, wrestlers are going to give this guy problems. Leon Edwards, I think he matches up well. Leon can wrestle, but he's not known for a wrestler. He's known for his striking, a little bit chinny. He's been in Rock before. I think the Leon fight is something that I think Leon fight is something that is possible. I think Leon's a little bit obviously ahead of him right now. Clearly, he's a ranked number 2. He's fighting Kamaru Usman. Hazmat Chimaev is going to still be a problem. I know he dropped a little bit after the Burns fight. Still going to be a problem. Gilbert Burns, still going to be a problem. Bilal Muhammad, going to be a problem. Once you get to the 6th guy, Vicente Luque. I know Luque can wrestle and has good jiu-jitsu. I like that fight for Kevin Holland. I like Stephen Thompson for Kevin Holland. I like Jorge Masvidal for Kevin Holland. I do not like Sean Brady for Kevin Holland, who he called out. Sean Brady is incredibly strong, durable, Good grappler, good boxer, and it will take Kevin Holland down at will. That's going to be a lot like him at 185. Sean Brady is that strong. It's going to be a lot like the Marvin Vettori fight. Neil Magny, like that fight. Similar body types. Neil can wrestle a little bit, but lately, you know, it doesn't look good. You know, I think Kevin Holland can handle that. Michael Chiesa, another problem fight for him. I think he beats Jeff Neal, which he's already beaten Jeff Neal outside the UFC. The Leech, I think he smokes. Michelle Pereira, very good fight, but I think he wins. And Shavok Rakhmonov, who's fighting this weekend, that's going to be a problem. So within this top 15, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, there's 7 guys. I like them. And maybe 8 with Leon Edwards. It's all about matchups. So I think he could be a problem for that top 10, top 15 guys. And he's calling out the boogeyman. He's not afraid. So Kevin Holland gets a 4, Tim Means gets a 2. Main event time. I had Calvin Kattar winning, boys. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. I had Calvin Kattar winning. Me and the boys, Christian and Timbo. Well, Timbo was on my side. Christian was split. Christian said he could have scored a 49-46 for Josh Emmett. I wish I was in person so I could slap him in the face. 49-46 is insulting. Calvin Kattar clearly won 4 and 5. I thought he won 2 as well. First round was close. Third round was all Emmett. Calvin Kattar outlanded him, did more damage. Josh Emmett just threw the harder strikes. He missed a lot of his strikes. His strikes landed on the arms and the elbows that they might have counted as strikes. I don't want to take anything away from Josh Emmett because I think the guy is 37. He got his face broke, guys, by Jeremy Stephens. He got his knee tore up. He's been hurt. He's kind of got a weird look to him. He kind of looks like an alien. The guy needs this, right? No, he seems like a good guy. He's buying his mom a house. Again, this is his final run. At 145, being 37 years old, this is his final run and being injury prone. So I can't be too mad that he won, right? Even though I think Calvin did win. I had Calvin 3-2. I've rewatched it. Still 3-2, in my opinion. I don't think Josh Emmett was laying in half those shots. Josh Emmett's the one that got hurt in there. Josh Emmett's face looked like a fucking mess. Calvin only had a little bloody nose. I don't throw the word robbery out ever. So it's not a robbery. It was a very close fight. I knew when, you know, this was the final leg of the slime ball and I had Calvin, I was very confident. I knew when they were announcing it after the fight, it's close. I don't know if we got this one, boys. I know it was close. You know, it's a good time to bet the main event because you can hedge out. Emmett was a nice size underdog there, but I'm happy for Josh Emmett. I'm not a fan of Josh Emmett per se. Obviously, I'm a fan of his fight style, but I don't think this guy's touching gold at 145. But listen, I've been wrong before. Like, I don't ever get Josh Emmett fights right. I think I picked against him every single fucking time. He's overperformed and I've just ignored it. You know, I'm just a fucking hater asshole. But he's got big power. He's got good wrestling. He's got great cardio. Fifth round cardio was there, man. And as long as he stays healthy, it's, you know, he's fighting the clock right now. He's fighting the clock. But let me look at the rankings for 145 before we get out of here. I know we're going a little long, but I just fucking love talking to you guys. So 145, you got Holloway versus Volkanovski in 2 weeks or a week or so. Ortega's matched up a year. Then you got Emin at 4. A lot of people were like, Emmett and Arnold Allen, right? Yeah, but that's a step back. I don't know if Emmett would take that. I think Emmett's looking, he needs to heal his body. I think the winner, Volkanovski versus Holloway. If Holloway wins, they're going to run it back immediately with Volkanovski. If Volkanovski wins, they're gonna get new blood in there. And I think Josh Emmett's the guy. He's already beat Brian Ortega or Volkanovski. That is Yair. Little inconsistent. He's very good, but him and Ortega are fighting. Arnold Allen's a dark horse. Bryce Mitchell's in the back here. He's a tough matchup. Taporia still sitting at 15, hasn't fought at 45 in a while. Mosar Ivalev is an absolute stud. So 145 is pretty nuts here. Josh Emmett, he's in a good spot because Brian Ortega and Yair are matched up. If Yair wins, you know, they might give him the shot over Emmett because of, you know, Mexico. Ortega's not getting a rematch before Emmett gets a shot. I think Emmett needs to heal up. Yeah, I think he's got his face fucked up. He needs to heal up, wait for the winner of Volkanovski if Holloway. The worst thing is Holloway wins because then they're going to run it back immediately, and then you're going to have to probably take the Arnold Allen fight or the Korean Zombie fight, which I think you win. Arnold Allen fight, I think he can win too, but it's going to be close. Arnold Allen's one of those dogs. So, yeah. But I cater 2, 4, and 5. Don't change my mind. That's it. That's the show. At Brian Petrie MMA on Twitter. Twitter's been very kind to me lately. Over 1,400 followers, which is fucking nuts. I love you. Go rate and review on Apple, on iTunes. Apple Pod. Well, fuck. Mess that up. Take two. Here we go. You ready? Ready for the take? And go rate and review on Apple Podcasts. I'm at 57. Love to get to 60. Tell your friends. Tell your friends. Love to get to 60. MMA Takes Podcast on YouTube and Instagram. Instagram I haven't posted in weeks. I apologize. I'm going to start taking like selfies or something just to get the fucking Instagram going. I don't take many selfies, but let's fucking go. That's it. That's the show. I love you guys. And that's it. Let's make some picks with our man Brian Hager. Perfect week for Brian Petrie yet again. Motherfuckers. Let's make some picks with our man Brian Petrie.